الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. I also would like to offer my congratulations on the birth occasion of Her Holiness Lady Fatima alayha salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And also, I would like to thank the organizers and the community here in Atlanta for giving me this opportunity to share a few days with you all. When it comes to Islam's spiritual world view, it's important because we who live in the West, we need a protocol of action, especially in the domain of spirituality. How our fathers and ancestors coped with spirituality in the East may be very different to the approach that we have to take. You can't assume that the way they lived Islam, the same applies to us. Sometimes it's a differing environment, and it can make all the difference. Those fathers who brought their children here, they took them to Western academic institutions which have taught them to question everything. But the parents or the grandparents, they never were exposed to that kind of education. And there are other parameters too, which makes the medium different, the medium through which we want Islam to be introduced and understood. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote a letter to the then president of the Soviet Union, Gorbachev. It was a socio-political letter, but also an ethical, spiritual letter. And in that letter, the question of how Islam has to be introduced in the West was raised. Now, this is Imam Khomeini's protocol, and this is very relevant for the likes of me and you. How should we introduce Islam to the West, to Muslims and non-Muslims, even to our children? But in the West, there's a particular protocol which Imam Khomeini may not have suggested for those in the East. But when it came to inviting Tawheed to those in the West, he gave a protocol. This protocol is important because when Islam is brought by our ancestors or our parents and grandparents with the Eastern baggage that they bring Islam with and with the taboos that accompany with them, Islam is threatened. And actually, Islam itself becomes very ugly in that picture which they bring from the East, because it's fully permeated with cultural customs, which gives a very negative picture. Although our brothers and sisters may be of the best of intentions, without a doubt, but the medium, the environment here is different now. And they're not doing a service to Islam. And we don't take Islam from them, although we respect them. We should never break the dignity of our elders and our senior members of the community. But when it comes to how we have to incorporate Islam, we go to the leaders of Islam, the likes of Imam Khomeini. This was a letter, a true letter. It had depth in it. It wasn't a normal letter of do this, do that, simple advice, and so on and so forth. This was a very important socio-political on one side, which I don't want to enter here, but ethical, spiritual on the other side. It's an important prescription given. Imam, he first tells Gorbachev to tell the professors in the West, or in the Soviet Union then, but it applies to all the West, it's not only specific to the Soviet Union, to study, in order to understand Islam, to study the likes of Farabi and Avicenna, two very important philosophers. And he gives the reasoning why these two should be studied to understand Islam. I won't go into that now. Then he goes and speaks of Suhrawardi, a mystic philosopher also, and he explains to them why Suhrawardi should be understood. Then he takes it one level higher and says, your higher professors who have good control over and have mastered philosophy, tell them to read Mullah Sadra. And then he gives the reasoning why.
Yes.
But then he ends with the Urafa. And this is the paragraph which I've chosen to read. He says, I shan't tie you further and shall not name books of the Urafa, especially those of Muhyiddin ibn Arabi. So he first speaks of the philosophers, now he's entering the Urafa, the Gnostics, the mystics, the people of Ma'rifah, the people who, in addition to the letter of the law, they pay heed to the spirit, the esoteric dimensions of the law, the butun of the law, the spirit of Islam. We don't want to suffice with the letter of the law. The letter of the law is step one. It's the most important, but we don't stop there. Sufficing with the letter of the law causes problems. As Ayatollah Hassanzadeh has said, that a community without ma'rifah, without the batin of Islam, is like a spiritless corpse. There's no growth. You can't grow spiritually when you suffice with the letter of the law. The operative word being sufficing with the letter of the law. And not making an effort to understand the inner wisdoms, the esoteric dimensions of the letter of the law. You just do it because the letter of the law says it, without understanding the inner dimensions of it. Especially those of Muhyiddin ibn Arabi, because assuming Muhyiddin ibn Arabi was one of the Urafa of almost 1,000 years ago, about 800, 900 years ago. Because assuming you desire to be informed of the discussions and writings of this great personality, before he would say, tell your professors to read the works of. But with Ibn Arabi, if you want to understand this dimension of Islam, you must send a number of your genius specialist experts who have a strong basis in such matters to Qom. See, it's different now. They can't just read it from the West. They have to come to Qom. And in the West today, all those who are authorities in Ibn Arabi, you can trace their teachers back to Qom, all of them. It can be traced back. You must send a number of your genius specialist experts who have a strong basis in such matters to Qom, so that after several years, with tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, they can become aware of the depth and thinner than hair delicateness of the stations of ma'rifah. For without making such a journey, awareness of such knowledge is not feasible. Okay, so here Imam, to start off with, he gives a number of scholars. He says, you want Islam to be introduced, you want it to be understood in the medium of the West, this is the protocol. So for every community, wherever they are in the West, you get what you deserve. If you don't look for such scholars, your growth, your elevation will be limited. It depends who you ask to lead the community, but you get what you deserve. And then your children will suffer or benefit depending on your decision. Then another extract from one of Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh's works. This is just an introduction to the main discussion, which I want to introduce later. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh says, in reality, if it were not for the learning and teaching of the likes of, then he mentions a name of a few names and titles of books in philosophy and Irfan again. If it wasn't for the learning and teaching of books in the likes of Tamhid al-Qawa'id by Ibn Turki, Shawahid al-Rububiyya by Mullah Sadra, Khaji Tusi's commentary of Isharat, Fusus al-Hikam and its commentaries, especially Allama Qaysari's commentary, Asfar by Mullah Sadra, Misbah al-Uns by Ibn Fanari, Shifa by Abi Sina, and Futuhat al-Makkiyya by Ibn Arabi. If it wasn't for these books, the learning and the teaching of these books, the understanding of the secrets that are concealed in the ahadith which are the butun, the esoteric dimensions of the verses of the Quran, these secrets which are concealed will not be feasible. You won't understand them. You won't gain access to them. You won't get access to what? The inner aspects of Islam, the secrets, the wisdoms of Islam, the spirit of the law. You wouldn't get access. And therefore, you would be sufficing with the superficial, with the zahir, which is okay. The zahir is important, but sufficing with it is problematic. In all truth, these aforementioned noble books must be deemed as esoteric interpretations for elevating one's understanding of the Muhammadan message. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to have access to the inner aspects, the esoteric dimensions, the batin of Islam. Now let's go to the Holy Quran and let's analyze one or two verses which also highlight the importance of gaining access to the butun, the batin, the spirit of religion, rather than sufficing with the zahir of religion. Chapter 274. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Those who hide that which Allah has revealed from the book. Look, they're hiding something. Something is being hidden. Allah has revealed from the book, and those who are hiding that which Allah has revealed from the book. But the notion of hiding is important here. وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they trade it, they sell it for a cheap price, a small price. Why are they? I'll give what the story behind this superficial verse is in a minute. But they're selling it for a cheap price. They don't want that which is revealed to be disclosed. They're hiding it. This hiding that they're doing, they're getting a very cheap bargain in return. It's something very pathetic when compared to what they are hiding. Ulaika, these people, ma ya'kuluna fi butunihim illa an-nar. They're not consuming anything in their bellies but fire. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Allah won't speak with them in the hereafter. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ Allah won't cleanse them in the hereafter. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ And for them there will be a painful chastising punishment. These people are hiding something and they're doing it for a cheap price. The result of this action is nothing but fire. And as they're doing it right now, they are burning right now in hell, right now. Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the day of resurrection, it just manifests your actions. Inna dunya mazra'atul akhirah. The world is the hereafter's farmyard. You reap what you sow, but right now, you're reaping it. But we don't see it. But after we die, it all appears before us. It doesn't start after death. Heaven and hell is right now. We are in our heaven or hell right now, burning or benefiting from Allah's bounties right now. But it's not appearing before us. It's not something physical for us to see. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمِ When the hellfire will appear, heaven and hell will appear in the hereafter. It won't start in the future. It's happening right now. But we don't see it. Once we die and we detach from the physical body, it will appear before the soul. You are your actions. All your actions that are incorporated within you, you're going to see. But you are your actions. No one is burning you from outside you. You burnt yourself with your actions. There's no one to blame but yourself. These people are committing a sin. They're hiding the truth of revelation. And these people, Allah won't speak with them in the hereafter. It means Allah doesn't speak with them in this dunya. It means we have the potential for Allah to speak with us in this dunya, either directly or indirectly. The potential is there. It's explicit in the Quran. And Allah won't spiritually cleanse them because they weren't spiritually cleansed here. You reap what you sow. Now, in this verse, it was the scholars of previous religions preceding Islam and truth of our Holy Messenger had come, they hid it from the followers of their religions. They hid it. That's the zahir of this verse. But is that it? Is the Quran only the superficial meaning? Full stop? And there's nothing else to benefit from it? By no means. This is Allah's knowledge being manifested, this Quran. When every superficial verse has an infinite number of inner esoteric meaning, but it's infinite. It has no end. And these batini meanings, they are time-free, space-free, and the message persists. What's the message of this verse for us Muslims, and especially Muslim scholars who are leading communities? What's the message here? What does hiding that which the Quran has revealed, what does that mean? Because the superficial Quran is with us. Nothing is hidden. No one has taken any letter or word from the Holy Quran. We have it as it was 1400 years ago. So what does hiding mean in this context? For Muslims, for Muslim scholars. Here, those who hide that which Allah has revealed from the book, that which Allah has revealed, you take it in the absolute sense. And it involves a zahir that Allah has revealed and a batin which Allah has revealed. And those who hide that which Allah has revealed, it can't be the zahir, it can mean the batin. And they do this for a cheap price. They're hiding the batin of the Quran, and they don't want the masses to have access to the batin for a cheap price. It may be prestige, honor, fame, knowledge, whatever. They may have a monopoly over certain aspects of religion. They don't want that to be compromised. All these are possibilities. These people who are acting as a barrier for the batin of revelation to be exposed and disclosed to the people, La yukallimuhum Allah. Allah won't speak with them. Ma yakuluna fi butunim illa nar. They're consuming nothing but fire, moment to moment. You're not allowed to do that. In chapter 2, verse 4, when describing the muttaqeen, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. See, those who believe that which has been revealed to you, O Messenger of Allah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And that which has been revealed to those before you. The muttaqeen of a very high degree. Because in the beginning it says, Alif Lam Mim Dhalika al-Kitab. In most translations, Dhalika is translated as this book. But Dhalika means that book. It makes a difference. These are Allah's words. Most, if not all, translations, they're translating only the zahir of the Quran. And even in that, they're failing. Dhalika al-kitab means that book. Most languages, they translate it as this book. In the very beginning, the main message is being lost. That book is another reality. It's not this Arabic physical book. La raiba fi, there's no doubt in it. Well, in the Arabic physical book, there is doubt in it. There are ambiguous verses. People are misguided through these verses. But dhalika al-kitab, la raiba fi. There is no doubt in that book, the mother of the book. Now, what it is, that's another discussion. But it's not physical. It's that book, another realm, of which this physical Quran is a manifestation of. Hudan lil muttaqin is a guidance for the muttaqin. So this muttaqin is a very high degree here. It's not step one muttaqin. These muttaqin are getting guidance from dhalika al-kitab. When describing these muttaqin, it says those who believe in that which has been revealed to you, O Messenger, and that which has been revealed before you. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوْغِنُونَ. And they have certainty with respect to Akhirah. We'll come to that in a minute. What does it mean to have Iman in relation to that which has been revealed to the Prophet and that which has been revealed before the Prophet? It's a very clear description of the muttaqin. What is the common denominator between that which has been revealed to the Holy Messenger and that which has been revealed before? It can't be the zahir. The sharias differ. And we don't even have the zahir of the preceding religions. But it can be the batin. The batin is one. The batin of religion is one. Even though some religions' batin is higher in degree than other religions. But the muttaqin have iman to the butun of religion of the Holy Messenger and those before. Supporting this idea is the end part of the verse. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُغِنُونَ. They have certainty in relation to Akhirah. What does Akhirah mean? We just think it means heaven and hell. It's a much more subtle meaning what Akhirah means. In chapter 30, verse 7, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ أَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know the zahir of the worldly life, but in relation to the akhirah, they are heedless. Look, they know the zahir of the worldly life, but when it comes to akhirah, they are heedless. This akhirah is a code. The code is given in the verse. It means the batin of the worldly life, because it's used in opposition to ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So akhirah means the batin of the worldly life. Here in this verse, the muttaqin of a very high degree, those who believe in that which has been revealed to you, your batin, and before you, that which has been revealed, its batin, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوْغِنُونَ. To the batin they have certainty. See? In the Quran, one third of it is in relation to akhirah. Akhirah in the sense it being the batin of this world, and I'm the batin, the esoteric dimensions. One third of the Quran, this is its importance. In the middle of chapter 2, verse 85, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْذِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْذِ. Do you have iman in some of the book, but deny some of the book? Look. There are some people who accept some of the superficial verses of the Quran, and they reject some of these superficial verses of the Holy Quran. I mean, there are some people who act according to some verses, but their faith is weak. They may not be able to act other verses. The verse isn't in relation to those people. Some people are weak. I sin, you may sin. No one's ma'soom. This verse is in relation to something else, that they accept in principle some verses, but some verses of the Quran they just don't accept. Not that they're weak in incorporating and believing in the verse, but they're weak in incorporating. They say, no, this is not acceptable. These people, okay, these people, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَا يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ, they won't be recompensed. Those who follow this course of action, they won't be recompensed, save with illa khizyun fil hayati dunya, disgrace in this world. They will face nothing but disgrace, and it will happen in this world. Wa yawma al-qiyamah, in the hereafter, yuradduna ila ashadd al-adhab, they'll be consigned to the most severe of punishments. But here the point is, in the superficial verse of the Quran, it's in relation to those who act and act, who accept some parts of the book and have faith, but they deny outright other superficial prescriptions of the Holy Quran. But when you come to the esoteric interpretation of the verse, one other meaning is they accept the zahir, but also they reject and deny some of the book. Some can also apply to the batin. And these people, if they reject the batin, this will be their recompensation. This is important here. There's a message here. We can't live all our lives without ever being attentive to the batin of religion. Wallahi, this is important. If you trace back these Da'ishi Salafi movements, when you trace back, okay, there may be some political reasons and everything, okay, that I don't know about, but one reason why these people have done what they do is a result of generations of sufficing with the Zahir. There's no spirit in their religion. There's no butun in their religion. It's a very dry picture. A dry black and white picture of Islam. And this kind of picture of Islam can satiate people with animalistic tendencies very, very easily. Whereas the spirit of Islam can't satiate their needs. It's a different realm. There's one story in the Holy Quran, and I'll finish with this story. It's in relation to Nabi Musa and Bani Israel, alayhi salam. There are a lot of stories in relation to Nabi Musa, alayhi salam, and Bani Israel. And Imam Ridha, alayhi salam, was asked. Why so many stories about Bani Israel? And actually, it's a very common question even today. Many people have asked me, why so many stories about Bani Israel? Many people find this problematic, that we have so many stories. The reason they find this problematic because they suffice with the superficial tone to these stories. They never approach the batin of these stories. And that's why this raises a question to their minds. Why so many stories? Okay, we got the message. See, most complaints or questions people receive usually is because of this. We get these questions from people who only have sufficed with the superficial dimension of religion. It doesn't make sense to them. But the problem is them and their outlook to religion. These dilemmas, these problems will all go away once they pay heed to the batin of religion. That was the aim. The goal is the batin of religion. The zahir is an important conduit, a route to that batin. So investigating the Quran through the lens of the zahir alone, it's going to be defective from the start. It's a lost cause. And now we're getting teachers now. People who haven't even studied in the seminaries, but they're teaching Islam. It's becoming problematic. Yes, sometimes there's no other choice. You have to do it. Because if you don't do it, there is no one. Well, it's like when you're dying and there's some pig meat in front of you. But you have to eat it. This is exactly like that. These people aren't specialists in Islam. But what can the community do? They have no one. And they come and teach. And they get it all wrong. They're causing more and more dilemmas in the youth. They're certainly not attracting the youth. But what can we do? Either we close all the doors? No. At least having a Sunday school is better than nothing. But you have to take it seriously. No one forced you to be here. You decided to stay here. And you're going to be accounted for that. It's not a game. You just stay here, and all your life your goal was just to live, get a job, be educated, get a job, earn some money, marry, children, happy life, house, car. Then we die, we get buried. Oh, it's a waste. It's a waste. And you'll be held accountable for such an outlook in such a place, in such countries. You have a lot of responsibility here. And you'll be asked how much you acted responsibly. In this story, it's in chapter 2. I think all the verses tonight were in Surah Al-Baqarah. There may be some wisdom behind that too. The story starts here in verse 57. وَأَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى. And we sent down. So from above, we sent down manna and salwa. There are different interpretations what this means. Salwa is a form of bird. And manna, some people have said bread, some have said honey. Let's just suffice with the superficial verse for now. I'll come to the butun in a minute. We sent down food to them. Bread and, let's say, flesh of a particular bird. But we sent it down for Bani Israel. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Then a prescription came. Eat of the good things that we have given sustenance to you, that we have provided for you. Consume of the good things. We have sent down bread and birds for you to consume. Eat of the good things that we have provided you with. This has all a superficial meaning. I'll come to the inner meaning in a minute. But the superficial meaning we always have to abide by. We just don't want to suffice with it. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا. And they won't wrongdo us. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Rather, they only wrong themselves. Now this is a very important principle. We won't have time for it right now. That no one can harm you but yourself. It's a Quranic principle. And that has a lot of meaning. Then, four verses later, in verse 61, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى. Remember when you said to Bani, this is Allah saying this in Revelation to Bani Israel. Recall when you said to Nabi Musa, Ya Musa, O Moses, لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ تَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We can't endure one type of food. We can't endure it. We don't have patience before one kind of food. فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ. We can't endure one kind of food. What kind? That kind which comes from above. We can't endure it. Call upon your Lord to bring forth for us from the earth. We want that kind of food. From the earth. مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَسَلِهَا. Herbs, cucumbers, garlic, lentils, onions. This is, we want this kind of food. مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضِ though. That which is coming from above, down, no. We can't endure that. That which is from the ground growing up, we want that. We want the earthly foods. But that which is coming from above, the celestial foods, no. Allah said, we're giving you food from above. Spiritual food. This is the batin of the verse. Allah is saying, we're giving you spiritual food. People are saying, those who are drowned in the worldly life, we can't endure this kind of food. Give us the earthly food, the worldly food. Not that which is coming from above down, that is which is earthly from down, the lower kinds of foods. Cucumbers, herbs, garlic, these, if you see these in your dreams, it has usually negative interpretations. These are negative, each with a certain animalistic attribute associated with it. This is speaking to me and you now. Allah's giving us spiritual, batini, malakuti, heavenly food. We say, oh no, we don't want that. Just give us the simple things from the earthly, worldly things. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That's what we want. That's all we know. Now look how the verse continues. قَالَ Nabi Musa said, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Are you exchanging that which is better, the celestial foods, the spiritual food, or even the physical food, but now we're discussing the batin of the verse. Are you exchanging that which is better for that which is worse? Comparing spiritual food with worldly knowledge? I'm giving you spiritual food for your salvation. You want to suffice with the worldly knowledge? Are you exchanging that which is better for that which is worse? وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. اِهْبِتُوا مِصْرًا. Get down into the city. From the kingdom of God, the celestial kingdom, you've lost your access. Go in the worldly state. These are inner meanings. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. And there you get what you ask for. You want the worldly, that's what you'll get. And you'll be responsible for it. وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ. And these people were struck with humiliation and poverty. In the superficial sense, but in the batini sense, those who rejected the celestial, spiritual food given, they will have illa khizyun fil hayat ad-dunya. Dhuribat alayhim al-dhillatu wal-maskana. When you act as a barrier, when you don't allow spiritual food to come your way, you'll be struck with humiliation and poverty. You'll be destitute. You've acted as a barrier to spiritual, celestial manna wasalwa. You've closed the doors upon yourself. وَبَاءُوا بِقَذَبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Then they return, and the wrath of Allah they have acquired. They return with the wrath of Allah. This wrath of Allah, what was it an effect of? What did they do to get it? They travelled from the batin, putting it aside and sufficing with the zahir. Ba'u biqadabin min Allah. Okay, all this, why? Dhalika bi'annahum kanu yakfuruna bi'ayatillah. All this because they rejected the signs of Allah. They rejected it. They sufficed only with the zahir and with the signs of Allah, the manifestations of Allah. When you suffice with the dhahir, you're rejecting the batin. That's why they incurred Allah's wrath. And what is the result of this? وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَسَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. The result was they killed prophets unjustly. They killed prophets unjustly, in the superficial sense, Bani Israel. What about me and you today? Are we killing prophets today? Why did they kill prophets? Because they, for disobeying Allah, and for وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. They always used to transgress. In the batini sense, what does it mean to kill the prophets? What does it mean to transgress? Transgressing is only sufficing with the dhahir. But how does sufficing with the dhahir convert to killing the prophets? How would it qualify for me and you to kill the prophets? How would it qualify for me and you to kill the imams today? How does it qualify for me and you to kill the 12th imam, God forbid, today? Not in the physical sense, but what about the batini sense? If we incur Allah's wrath upon us, if we suffice with the dhahir, this is a threat, something which is threatening us. Killing the 12th imam. Disappointing him. Not seeing him. Not in the physical sense. He's an occultation. But does that mean we have no access to see him? In the physical sense, no. He's in ghaibat. He's an occultation, okay, but still the doors are open to see him in the barzakhi form, having a vision of him, either in your sleep or awake, but not with the physical eye. And nadharu ila wajhi Ali ibadatun. Seeing the face of Amirul Mu'mineen is ibadah. Where? The physical Amir al-Mu'mineen, there's no access. What about all the munafiqeen who would see the physical face of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Did they benefit? Of course not. That which will make us benefit is if we have a vision, a tamathul of Amir al-Mu'mineen, either in our dreams or whilst awake, we see, but not with the physical eye, with the same eye that we see in our dreams. The same applies for the 12th Imam. Otherwise we're deaf, dumb and blind if we just see with the physical eye. These are the goals of Islam. أَإِنَّهُ إِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ فَهُوَ يَرَى. Chapter 53. Does one have knowledge of the unseen? The unseen means the metaphysical, like in your dreams. Does one have knowledge of the غَيْب, so that one qualifies as a seer, or do you want to just see like animals? And esoterically, you may be killing the imam by acting in such a way, and therefore you won't see him. When you don't see the inner imam, it doesn't matter if the zahiri imam hasn't come yet. Even if he comes, you won't benefit. If you haven't benefited from the inner imam, imamat is a fitri concept. Only a pure fitra sees imamat. If the fitra is not pure, even if the 12th imam would come, you won't benefit. Because you kill the inner imam within you because of a contaminated fitra. Those who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala, before they did that in the physical form, they killed the inner They sufficed only with the Zahir. There was no spirit of religion. And this we have to be careful. This we have to be careful. Okay, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ta'ala. Wow.